Greg, the executive director report. It's supposed to come after a break, but we've used up all our time for break. So okay. You prepared to give the report?
Yeah, give me one moment.
Okay. Okay, everybody, we're calling the meeting to order to hear the executive director's report. Greg, you have 30 minutes starting from now, which is 4:44. Thanks. Greg Guma, our executive director. Could I ask anybody who was talking at this point to please go in the hall and continue the conversation or to give Mr. Guma your attention? Thank you.
Are we on here? All right. Yeah. Well, first of all, there's no place like New York. Of course, I already knew that. And I want to thank all the people in New York who've made us welcome here. Also, I don't know if she's in the room, Donna Gates, who does the logistics for our visits to different cities. This morning, is she? Oh, there she is, right there. Yeah. And this morning, I sort of began to talk about some of the things that I was going to bring up this afternoon. But what I'm going to try to do is answer a question that you've been asking me. I am a question that you've been asking me since before I was hired. By asking you to do something, which is to use your imaginations and to envision the Pacifica Radio Network in a few years from now. And I'd start by imagining, and this is what I imagine, an audio production center with multiple channels and schedules that are open to frequent change, and a place where we break down barriers and the distinction between listeners and producers, and a hothouse for the cultivation of talent, and a laboratory for new ideas, and a place where people converge and contribute and then move on. A center for the development of informative, educational, and also entertaining programs with community partners and like-minded organizations. And more than that, I think, can you imagine a place where people learn how to communicate? An audio resource center that offers state-of-the-art training and a variety of platforms and a variety of ways to get messages, news, information, opinion, music, humor, drama out into the world. And while you're at it, imagine a workplace where people look forward to the challenges of the day and where discussion is vigorous and dynamic and where disagreements aren't feared but rather welcomed, because those involved realize that they can lead to creative solutions. And imagine a staff that sees its job as nurturing and teaching and enabling others to freely, effectively express themselves. And now look beyond that and also imagine a network where diversity is a cause for celebration rather than conflict, and where programs offer people hope and alternatives, a clearinghouse that shares ideas and talents and programs with more than, let's say, 200 affiliates, a truly national network that educates and entertains by stimulating dialogue and asking hard questions, and does this with a combination of irreverence and also respect. This is some of how I envision Pacifica in the near future. And I hope that you also can envision something, despite all the things we deal with now, that's something similar to this. But however the vision that I put out and those that you have may vary, it's obvious that we have some challenges and significant work to do and key decisions to make to get from here to there. And I don't think there's any time to waste, because the evidence suggests at the moment that the audience for public radio appears to have leveled off. And some of the stations are even losing ground. And meanwhile, internet stations and podcasts and MP3s and iPods are changing the way people around the world listen. They have more control now over their radio audio consumption. They can listen to programs and stations from other areas and at times that are more convenient to their own schedules. They can even carry their favorite shows and entire music libraries around with them. And there was recent studies indicate that within 5 years from now, a third of public radio's weekly audience will listen to at least 2 hours a week to programs delivered on a platform other than the primary broadcast channel. And this shift could go much further than this. The figures that we're looking at say that half the entire audience could be using new platforms up to 4 hours a week. And what that means is between 8 and 25% of public radio's total service. So think about that. The question is, will this network be ready to provide these kind of new platforms and these new services, and how? And these staffing questions that we're addressing are very germane to that, because the model that we're talking about is a model based on this old model of radio broadcasting, and we're talking about a delivery system quite different from that. The technology and the internet reports that you're going to hear as soon as I finish provide some of the answer, because we are beginning to gear up for that and coordinate our efforts better and develop some new capacity for training and distribution. But I think we need to continue investing in equipment and in concepts and in personnel if we're going to create the reliable new infrastructure that we obviously are going to need. And another aspect of this is high definition or HD radio, which, for those who don't know, piggybacks digital signals on existing analog signals and promises high quality reception. Now, so far less than 10% of U.S. stations are broadcasting in digital, and the cost of the receivers is still pretty high. The last figures I saw are about $300, but eventually the price is going to come down, and the radio stations will be able to offer choice by multicasting. I sometimes hear even four, but at least three channels. Imagine not only having the current Pacifica station channel with its own mixture, whatever the mixture is of news and public affairs and music, but also, say, a second channel, that perhaps one in which we could broadcast hearings, rallies, other special events, kind of a progressive radio version of C-SPAN, or a third channel. It might be Spanish language. It might be experimental. It might be arts and humanities. Or we can even consider selling or leasing one of those channels to be able to pay for other new initiatives. And so before long, and it's not going to be more than a couple of years or so, homes and cars, the price is going to drop to $150 or less for these receivers, and they're going to have jacks for iPods and CD players, and before you know it, beginning with urban areas where our stations are located, the face of traditional radio is going to be transformed. And the question is, will Pacifica have sufficient and make sufficient and timely investment to be at the leading edge of this transformation? That's a real question. Now, we've, you know, applied in some cases for grants or haven't even completed applications to do this, but I argue we really must do this. And this will change the issue, because we won't be dealing with an era of scarcity anymore. We'll be dealing with an era of abundance, and we'll need to produce a lot of content for these new channels. Now, that's just the technology side, the delivery mechanism, but then you get to the content side. Let's start from where we are right now. Our five stations currently devote about 20% of their airtime to network news, and I say outside local production, news and public affairs show. That's less than 5 hours a day. That's according to outside figures. My own figures indicate that it's even a lower percentage than that. Even though this form of programming has fueled public radio's growth for the past decade, in comparison, we currently offer about 40%, devote 40% to local news and public affairs, and then another 40% to music. And, of course, this varies from station to station. So I'm pulling this information, incidentally, from a Radio Research Consortium report for Audience 2010 21st Century Trajectories. And I know some people disagree with some of the figures in that, but just to give you an idea where this is from. Two stations, BAI and KPFK, devote substantially more time to local public affairs show. At BAI, according to this figure, it's around 63%, so we're closing in on two-thirds, and KPFK about 56%, a little bit less. The other two stations, WPFW and KPFT, devote considerably more than the average to music, 59% at KPFT and 71%. And these are rough figures at WPFW. And what's the result of that? Well, in general, both this study that I'm quoting and recent Arbitron reports as well indicate that both listenership and, more worrisome, I think, to me, and it should be to you, loyalty is on the decline. Loyalty, and in the Arbitron terms, what this means is it's measuring our share of our listeners' total radio use. right, grows from sensitivity to what people want to hear, and this obviously correlates very strongly with the financial support you're going to get. Pacifica listeners are loyal to some programs. We know, obviously, they're loyal to and enthusiastic about Democracy Now!, which is a show that we launched 10 years ago that's proven to be... What it combines is solid journalism, sensitivity to breaking news stories, and also a strong personality, and that's a winning combination. And I'm happy to report that Amy Goodman, who I've met with, intends to remain a part of the Pacifica family in the years ahead. Programs that have also sustained loyalty, the most loyalty, according to the ratings, Flashpoints and Sunday Salon out of KPFA. These are two shows that combine largely national and international issues that are also identified with strong personalities. Morning shows at the various stations, and, of course, the evening news, which is, as Eva mentioned, very expensive to produce. Programs like Explorations, which was mentioned earlier in the weekend with Michio Kaku, background briefings at KPFK, Talkback and WBAI, and a number of our music shows as well. Mainly, not only, but often the ones on the weekends, Saturdays and Sundays, and those that have these well-known and personalities that people become attached to. And also, in addition to that, there's a half-hour program with Alan Watts on KPFK that has a pretty loyal following, according to the surveys. And that suggests a role for proven programs and voices from the past that are available from our unique archives. So the point is, in all of this, is that locally focused public affairs programs, while they do represent an important aspect of Pacifica's mission and a dominant part of its schedules, don't really, at the moment, rank relatively high in terms of loyalty and listeners. And we have to start wondering why that is. And I think that could be a subject of a lot of debate. And what about the music-oriented stations? According to this same study, KPFT has climbed back from a listener slump, but loyalty to its programs still remains generally low, and the same thing is true for WPFW.
What about Gary Noll and Robert Knight in WPAI?
Except for the...
What about loyalty? I mean, this whole thing
is absurd. I'll get to the absurdity of it. Except that, the study classifies WPFW as what they call, and this is kind of cruel actually, as a diver, because its listening in 2005 was less than in 2002. In fact, this study classifies three of our five stations as divers, WPFW, WKPFK, and WBAI, with the New York station in the lead of the dive. Yeah, that's a station that has less listeners last year than it had in 2002. And as the study puts it, the diver may still be flying high relatively at the moment, but the trajectory is what they're talking about. The trajectory of listenership and loyalty is down. Yes. Now, we can argue about the validity of the figures and these sort of assumptions underlying this, or the fairness of, you know, these divers, cruisers, climbers, these categories, which are very provocative. But what seems clear to me anyway is, on the one hand, we're losing ground at the moment in a general way. And on the other hand, national news and public affairs shows, in association with credible and familiar hosts, are still engendering the most loyalty and are the most sustainable part of our mix. But now here's the other side of the equation. Pacifica doesn't want to set its priorities merely on the basis of what's popular now. Put another way, it chooses not to be market-driven. Instead, it's committed to creating space for new voices, mission-based programming, and identifying new and currently underserved audience. But in order to do that, while remaining relevant and fiscally sound, program schedules and mixes have got to change. But the current organizational and staff model, some of what we've heard about here today as well as the governance structure itself, are making this very difficult. And what we need, and some of this has been suggested in a recent dialogue that Rip Robbins has been having, is a fair and more effective way to set limits on how long programs remain on the air. Kind of a review process that gives the managers and program committees the ability to open space and make more changes. And I spoke this morning about making more space for Spanish language program and Latino programming in general. According to Arbitron ratings, Latinos spend more time listening to radio than any other ethnic group. And I mentioned also that the commercial radio stations are not apt to remain loyal, even though they've taken the lead. And for that and a number of other reasons, I've been making some recommendations relating to the expansion of Latino programming. I also spoke this morning about sustaining our commitment and expanding it to national news and public affairs. And I'll just repeat for those who weren't here briefly that what I've been working on is a new and hopefully original network programming that's going to respond to immediate and current events during the election season. This is a limited series of 10 weeks that would combine serious discussion with humor and music and showcase talent from within and also from beyond the network. And that once that ends, that 10-week series ends, to that space that's been opened up on the local programming schedule would then be used to showcase successful local programmings from our other stations and perhaps from the affiliates as well. Potentially renewable, but also reviewable. And then also in 2007, I would suggest that we do develop a new program, perhaps for the same space that's been opened up for another series, this one focusing on race in America. And then I've also already talked about the Spanish language program. The only thing I'll add to that is that, you know, I'm very happy to see in the letter that Bernard White had sent out to individuals are concerned about Latino programming, that he mentioned the Spanish language news programming, that this would be some additional programming, and that suggests to me a commitment on his part to that. But as I mentioned to you this morning, I don't think it's just a matter of one program. I think it's a matter of a priority for a block of programming to develop more audience loyalty. What I'm suggesting is that we open up space on all stations' schedules for the type of programs that meet our mission, that weave together local and national elements and generate greater audience loyalty and additional financial support by getting infrequent listeners, like the Latino audience now, the people who are currently on the fringe and may even be disaffected, to tune in more often. Now, these recommendations are part of an overall set of priorities, some of which you've already seen, that has been presented to the Finance Committee, and the discussions and the negotiations obviously aren't over, but this is a brief outline of what I've suggested, that national production capacity needs to be reorganized and expanded, bringing the resources and personnel into a more coherent structure. This means a national programming budget, in my opinion, coordinating various outreach, development, and marketing efforts, improving supervision, and revising a number of job descriptions. As I've noted in my written report, the current management structure, as well as elements in the bylaws themselves and the factional politics that we've heard about, currently combine to prevent effective supervision and change. Number two, our national programming should include 2 half-hour national newscasts 5 days a week. We've talked about both of them. The one that we have now, FSRN, which is our English language newscast, and one new one in Spanish, using the skills of staff at sister stations, emphasizing collaboration, and coordinated in-house in Pacifica by a senior news producer. National public affairs programming for the year should include Democracy Now, obviously. We want to continue that relationship. The archives program from the Vault, which has had a successful launch. I think Brian will talk about that later this evening. 2 new limited series I've mentioned. Local programs carried by our sister stations under the supervision of what we will hopefully soon have a new network programming coordinator. But in addition, I think we need to rapidly enhance Pacifica's technological capacity through a network-wide assessment. I think Pete and John will address that a little bit in a little while. Local staff and infrastructure development, including digital conversion, expanded streaming capacity, internet channels with interactive content, investment in new equipment, increased distribution that empowers listeners. As virtual programmers, we had a presentation on that yesterday, and training programs. I also think, however, we need a coordinated marketing and promotion effort, as well as major donor and planned giving campaigns, which we've discussed but never done. This will require, however, an adequate consolidated development and outreach budget and the cooperation of a team, which we've begun to put together, that will include our affiliates coordinator, who, incidentally, is already involved in significant outreach activities, which are much underestimated, as well as our archives director, national staff, and station representatives. That's the kind of team building some have referenced here and that I'm talking about. And finally, Pacifica needs to step up to its responsibilities as a leader of the independent media community by supporting new non-commercial license applications. You'll see around the room the maps that we have helped to fund to identify some of the new places where stations may emerge. Continued expansion of our affiliate network, offering training to affiliate stations, some of which has been done in the past, but which obviously needs to be continued, and working with other organizations in support of free speech campaigns. These are my priorities, which will be translated into budget items in the weeks ahead. But these priorities don't answer all the questions. Here are some of the questions in my mind, unanswered questions that we have to address. How much effort and investment, well, are we going to put into broadcast services, and how much into newer channels and platforms? And how quickly can we shift investment toward these new systems? How much should we invest, for example, as creators of original content, and how much as selectors and the context setters, let's say, for the content produced by others? That's a delicate balance. What content is most suitable for the new channels versus the broadcast channels? You have different audiences accessing different shows on different mediums. It's a question of matching the vehicle with the audiences. And so we have to think very carefully about that. It's not just a question of who gets on WBAI's main channel. It's a question of what is the audience and what is the appropriate delivery vehicle to reach that audience. And what are the most promising avenues for shared research, development, and investment? And who are going to be our partners as we do this? And as the Pacifica stations move from managing a single channel in each signal area to operating multi-channel, multi-platform, interactive production and resource centers, how will they acquire the needed knowledge and skills, and how will we create the new staffing model that's going to be necessary for this? And on a personal note, yesterday, with the help of Ursula Rudenberg, was able to participate in a kind of a form of therapy for my own adjustment to this world that I'm living in now, which helped me to identify the forces at work in Pacifica. It was conducted by Roberta Atti, who I believe has been on WBAI from time to time, and it helped me to identify what originally brought me here and some of what I've forgotten. Which is, you know, the original vision of this network. We always talk about, you know, the mission this, the mission that. And the original vision, which was about nonviolence, about a humanistic vision of society, you know, it wasn't just about politics. It was about much more than politics. Because in the end, for me at least, politics is a part of the answer, but is not all of the answer. And so my question is, how can we recapture the humanistic spirit that animated this organization more than a half century ago? I think we must, and I think we've lost, in some sense, the spiritual core that lies beneath this in all of our struggle to, you know, to win this fight or to win this struggle. As I said earlier, time is short, and we don't have time for distractions. And that's why it's so troubling, and I know it is to all of you, to see station boards and sometimes the national board devoting time to internal quarrels, procedural maneuvers that seem to have little to do with the challenges that we're facing. Sir, please. And that is also why I am asking you.
Bernard White.
Would the chair please discipline the audience member, please?
I'd like the gentleman at the rear of the room to remove this man right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
And after I said to Bernard, and you do it, I said, come on, people, you're a
I'd like to. I'd like to thank the gentleman for. Okay, well, you can leave security. Thank you. But I'd like to thank that gentleman, despite this, for exemplifying exactly the problem we face. And the problem is anger. The problem is anger and bitterness. Well, let me. Okay. Yeah. So let me just end this here. Okay, let me just end like I began. Let's imagine something, one more thing. Imagine boards whose members contribute as much as they demand. Boards that bring skills and resources together in a spirit of cooperation and mutual respect. And members who offer as much positive reinforcement as they do criticism. And I want to underline that. Because in my experience in the last 4 months, I think that many people here are very quick to criticize everything and very hesitant to ever see what is good in someone else and in what is happening. Who actually enjoy people who enjoy their time together and see their work more in terms of shared responsibility than in terms of authority and power, and lead by inspiring respect and being the change they wish to see. And finally, imagine Pacifica Radio as a truly educational media organization, not as a tool for any movement, no group or faction, no matter how just the cause. Imagine
psychological problems people have. Imagine
an educational organization that's dedicated to self-management of information. Yeah, it's all right. I'm almost done. To empowering people with the capacity for full self-expression. Imagine an organization that understands, truly understands, that it's possible to have diversity as well as unity, and that operates on the basis of a simple and profound truth. Freedom of expression is fundamentally a personal and not an institutional right. And freedom of the press means the right of people to use all the means of communication that are available. Pacifica's job, as I see it, is to help make that happen. And I'm just going to end with this one little word, which I wrote down earlier today, which is, if I can find it here. It's very, and oddly enough, it's from Machiavelli. You know, but maybe somehow.
Why is that odd?
One change leaves the way open for the introduction of others. One change. So let's just start to make some change. So what are your questions, criticisms,
that
concerns?
Was a half an hour, so including a certain portion of public comment. So
yeah.
I think we're at time unless somebody wants to make a motion to extend till midnight. Go ahead.
So move.
I move to extend. Let's see.
Can
let's
you
try
make a motion
10 minutes.
Anytime?
All right. Not quite midnight.
Yeah, 15.
Okay, 15. I amend to say extend 15. Do we have a second?
Okay. Second is
15 minutes.
Hello.
Go ahead, Ambrose.
I would. I would like to support what Greg says by simply reminding us of what the vision was. And let me just read part of it. To encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and energy of the community. To conduct classes and workshops in the writing and producing of drama. To establish awards and scholarships for creative writing. To offer performance facilities to amateur instrumentalists, choral groups, orchestral groups, and music students. and to promote and aid other creative activities which will serve the cultural welfare of the community. That's in addition to what we're supposed to be doing in terms of bringing about understanding between races, creeds, and colors, and all the other political things we're supposed to do. And I've said this before, and I'll repeat it, and I'll do it ad infinitum. If we had done these things over the past 20 years, we wouldn't be facing financial problems. Because if you stimulate the local community and create opportunities for local communities, local communities will outpour their support. Let me repeat this other thing I often say to this board. They wonder why Marion Barry, the mayor, former mayor of D.C., keeps getting reelected. And I'm going to tell you why. It's very simple. He made a commitment upon being elected. He told the people of that community, if your teenage boy or girl needs and wants a job, I will guarantee that everyone will get a job during the summer months. He kept that commitment. That's the reason mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers will always support him. I look at American Idol, and I see our failure. What does it say? Instrumentalists, amateur instrumentalists, choral groups, orchestral groups, music students, all of our churches and temples and synagogues have young people who need exposure of their talent. And if we had provided the opportunity for those young people over the years, we wouldn't have to worry about contributions. Those mothers and fathers and grandparents and great-grandparents would always remember Pacifica, and they would always support Pacifica, and you wouldn't have to worry about money. And I don't know how we are going to do what we should have been doing the last 20 years, but we better start doing it, or all the other fancy stuff we're talking about doesn't mean a thing. Unless we have that broad base of community support because we've done something for that community. Absolutely. Then you can forget it.
Who else would like to ask? Alan, then Bob.
I came into Pacifica out of Indie Media, and it was a lot of adjustment because Indie Media was so, you could throw everything into it because the web was that flexible. And I learned very quickly that there are 168 hours on KPFK. And so I know there's a need to term out shows, but it does seem from what Greg said, and I appreciate that Rip is apparently spearheading dialogue on this, that's necessary. But I've been involved in it for 3 or 4 years at KPFK, and now radio is breaking out of the 168 hours a week model, more to where Indie Media was a few years ago. So you did express a paradox, but I question, and this could be a very hopeful note, that maybe the paradox won't exist within a year or two because we have continuity. We have listenership because of the continuity with some of the older shows, but there can be a place for those shows. So I do think in the maybe we can approach programmers who merit being termed out, but say to them, just, you know, take a year off and come back.
Yeah.
Because we have an opportunity to have them, these people who have large audiences, to come back to Pacifica, maybe not on the primary signal, but on the second signal. So I think we should be aware of that. And again, I think that's in the spirit of broadening a community, too.
Yes, continuity, change, migration, all of right. Those are possible, but we have to plan for them.
Right.
Bob. Greg, thanks for your report. I wanted to ask you about a letter you sent out this week to solicit funds, which I got because I've given money to WBAI.
The national mailing, the acquisition list mailing, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And I was surprised to read two statements I want you to expand on. One is you say Pacifica is currently planning to launch national satellite and internet channels. So I'd like to know, is this a decision you've made, or were you going to come to the board to ask us for authorization. How much is that going to cost, and what type of vision do you have about what would be the nature of the programming?
Well, this has been in the works for a while, and I have to admit that the language for that comes as much from previous mailings that even predate me. And, you know, I would have to also call, I don't know where Lonnie's gone, but these letters, though my signature runs over them, are the result of a committee process. My understanding, however, is that we are planning. Does not mean we are ready to do it tomorrow. But I would defer to Lonnie on the intention behind that particular statement.
What's that?
Just read it again for me.
Sure. Pacifica is currently planning to launch national satellite and internet channels.
In the acquisition fund mailing.
Read it again for me.
I'm sorry? Read it again?
Yeah.
Pacifica is currently planning to... I'm leaving out some other things,
yeah,
but, you know, among... There's a bullet point list of things that Pacifica is currently planning, and one of them is to launch national satellite and internet channels.
Yeah, we've been talking about it for some time, and the idea would be for Pacifica programming to be on Sirius or XM radio. And that intent has been around for at least a year. Currently, we do have one show that has gone to XM, and we continue to want to explore that possibility. We think it's an outlet for the programming and could be beneficial. Now, we've run into difficulties getting that going, but the intent still remains. We'll see how far we get with it.
Okay, well, I'm not raising this in order to say these are necessarily bad ideas, but there's a lot of implications to both of those. We actually tried an internet channel that didn't work out about a year and a half ago, so we'd have to learn from the lessons of what went wrong with that and how you maintain a string of 24-hour-a-day programming that is coherent and that is well-balanced. And, you know, there's a lot of considerations that I hope that the national office is going to be coming back to the board at some point with proposals about. And the second one, which I was surprised to read, is Pacifica is currently planning to create issue-oriented programs about Medicare, racism, gay rights, labor, and issues facing the poor. And again, I'm not saying that is a bad idea. I'm asking for you to explain more, what is the concept here? Is this a weekly, one-hour national program?
Some of what you've addressed is mentioned is actually part of the national program that I outlined to you earlier, and will deal with some of those issues. If you look at that list, some of it has to do with program suggestions that have been made to us by specific other groups. So, and we do also have a new kind of process for evaluating and vetting national specials. So there's a series idea, and then there's also the issue of national specials. To some extent, the list itself is defined by what we believe are going to be the cutting-edge issues during the election season and the months ahead. It's really more, it's not about a series on each one of these things. It's more about shows addressing those things. So I guess maybe the wording isn't clear enough. So it's not like five different series. It's more about programming within a series format that addresses those issues.
And just one last clarification about the balance you see between local, how much these issue-oriented programs would balance existing local content versus kind of new national people that are not at a local station currently.
I think that some of the programs that are on local stations deserve a national audience, and I believe that there are programs in some of the categories you mentioned or at least incorporating that kind of content. And I mentioned in the report that really what I'm looking for is a balance between nationally produced programming and locally produced programming that is promoted and distributed nationally. And the idea that I have basically is to open up a small space within the schedules of the different stations, which would then over time be filled not only by a national series, but would be filled by a series of programs which would be selected by individual stations for national distribution. So that's a part of the strategy, and that's kind of, it's my interpretation of one way to address the new voices question. It's not, but I think the key question is, how do you create the space? And there's always going to be resistance at stations to any kind of change in the schedule. And the point I made this morning, and I will continue to make, is that there's never really the ideal time. And at some point, someone's got to kind of say, well, this is it. We're going to create that window. And I believe that it really has to be done now because you've all waited a long time.
We have 5 more minutes left. We have Rip and Lydia. I mean, Rip, Sandy, and Lydia. And that's, we have 5 minutes to finish.
I'd like to say that I appreciate the leadership that Greg brings to the network, to the foundation. And I think that he holds the values that our audiences can respect. And I think the board made the right choice in hiring him for this job. There's nothing magical about the affiliate stations. I don't know any more than the program directors that you have at the sister stations. All I've done, which has brought some attention to me lately, is that all I've offered is that at some of the stations, we have some mechanisms whereby we do program evaluation. And I also want to make it clear that tenure is not a bad thing at a radio station. At my station, I have several programmers that have been on for a long, long time. The thing is that in evaluation, they're able to demonstrate that they're keeping their program fresh, new, and interesting to our audience. And they keep their program because we're proud to have them on the staff. The thing that I've talked about on the list, and I really didn't initiate it, it was some other folks that have been talking about it, was the idea that there's a mechanism that the staff brings to bear on the programmers and the programs that are on the air, and that there is a mechanism for replacing programming or adjusting the schedule, and that that's the only part of it that we bring. And I don't think that programmers and hosts should be fearful of these mechanisms and these policies, because what they result in is a healthier radio station for their community.
Sandy, then Lydia.
I've gone through much training in my life, and part of that was speed reading, where you're taught to read the first word of every paragraph, maybe the first paragraph and the last paragraph of 7-page reports. So I want to turn to the last paragraph of your report, Greg, which is on page 7, right in line with my training.
I would ask that you perhaps not do that because I believe it's a personnel matter.
Okay. Well, I'd like to say that I think we made a change at a Machiavelli, and I'm looking forward to other changes. And I think we made the right choice in hiring Greg Guma.
Thank you. Lydia.
Yes, I would recommend, because certainly I think most of us would support special program and anti-racism and all of the various things and aspects of elections, which of course I expressed my opinion earlier. However, I think it would be useful to utilize some of the governance structures in order to streamline and help to move forward. In other words, when there is a creative idea, and it doesn't matter whether it comes from unpaid staff or if it comes from the ED staff or where it comes from, it helps the process if it can go to the appropriate committee, or at least that committee can be put in the loop. Even if you say, okay, I'm thinking of this, but we haven't completed the concept, so that all of the myriad of things, and we know that right now in the programming committee, we've entrusted them to deal with programming policies for the entire network, which are very complex. And there's a place for the kinds of initiatives that you're talking about, but it would be more useful if they can also be kept in the loop. It helps us as governance. Then it's not like, oh, you know, this is the first we heard of it, because it sets us back 6 months if then we have to start from scratch and say, oh, okay, well, I moved to have this go to programming. So that was just, you know, as a note, again, to move things forward, not to slow things down. And I think that it's a mistake to think that always referring things to committee is going to slow things down. That hasn't, I mean, you haven't been with us long enough to realize that there are some things that have been moved forward speedily,
relatively speaking, and at least with given the due consideration that it deserves, that it cannot get in a full in a meeting, a weekend meeting like this, may not get with just a couple of people, and you would really benefit from it because you'd be able to hear some of the historic perspectives that, because you haven't been with us, would help you hone that proposal as well.
That's a fair criticism, and I hope you're right.
Okay, we're at time for the executive director's report. Next, we're going to have a technology report from...
Sorry. Still have some people on the list.
Oh, okay. Well, we are at time. Well, if it's quick, go ahead.
5 minutes?
Just go ahead quickly.
One little thing.
Oh, thank you.
I went to
Rex Sean.
Go ahead, AC.
He said that KPFA has not had him on the air for months.
Sir, you are not the only member of the audience. I'd like to ask you to please stop. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
I know.
Sir?
Yes. We know about it.
I'm concerned about the future.
I am going to ask security to remove this man if he doesn't.
I'm concerned about the future. I'm not unmindful of the past.
Excuse me,
but I am concerned about the future.
I would like to ask you also not to respond.
Please.
And at this point, I'll be asking security to remove anyone for further outbursts.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. I am not going to tolerate continued interruption of the meeting. I don't care what your standards are here.
Okay,
we are not going to tolerate this.
Okay.
AC, please go ahead.
First of all, Greg, I want to commend your report that you gave. There is one point of clarification.
Could you repeat that?
Can
I couldn't quite hear you.
There is one point of clarification
that
I'd like to have in your comments, because you mentioned something to the effect of not catering to any group or...
Yes.
It gave a nonpartisan sort of view of that. And I know that's not exactly a part of the Pacifica, because I'm looking at the Section D of the bylaws, of the Article of Incorporation, in which it states, in radio broadcasts and operations, to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations, between individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and color. There's no way we can escape politics, and I think that's... I'm not suggesting that we... I mean, if you look at that by itself, it says exactly what everybody's sitting here, exactly what we've been discussing. And I just want to know if you're committed to that.
I'd like to clarify that. I obviously, we have to participate in activities that support that understanding. But my point is this. First of all, Pacifica is an educational foundation. Fundamentally, and I think that we need to continually recognize our educational purpose. Secondly, if Pacifica, in its desire to support movements for change, becomes captive to any particular movement or ideology, then it loses sight of its larger educational mission. It narrows its focus, and it loses also a credibility that comes from being more inclusive. That is not to say that individual shows may not be highly advocacy-oriented, but when you get to the point where your purpose is to be a political organizing tool, then you have crossed the line from education to pure advocacy. And you will, in the long run, not be credible to a larger audience. Your news will not be credible. If we want journalists in this network to be taken seriously, they must be able to report the news regardless of who it might offend, even if sometimes it offends our friends. We know who our allies are, and we know who we're opposed to, but we have to be free and independent. And independence requires maintaining a certain independence from a close strings-attached relationship to any particular ideology or movement, or else you will then have a fight between the anarchists and the Marxists and the communists and those who think that the real problem is patriarchy and those who think that the central problem is sexism, and we will be back to the fight that's been going on in this country and in political circles for at least 150 to 200 years, and we don't need to recreate that. We need to move to a much more inclusive vision, which is humanistic and focused on fundamental social change, but is credible to a broad and growing audience. And that's what I'm talking about. And I don't feel that devoting ourselves to a commitment to a particular movement will be helpful.
Okay, now we... No, thank you.